Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I feel so bad for the kids today that don't get the chance to grow up with Rush Limbaugh playing on their mom or dad's radio on the way into school. How many of you, well, I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh myself, but how many of you grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh because your mom or dad was listening to Rush Limbaugh? When I meet, younger folks that listen to the show, they say, oh, yeah, I grew up, listening to Rush Limbaugh, driving around in my dad's pickup or whatever, and so cool to hear. Remember James Carville, the bald-headed, the raging Cajun Democrat Party operative? He was good buddies with Bill Clinton. Remember, Rush Limbaugh would always say, it's a wall, Larry. It's a wall. Well, James Carville now says, it's a plant. It's a plant in the Democrat Party. So to carry on from our 6 o'clock hour conversations about how the Democrats are in quicksand. I mean, look at their deranged protesters. Look at the deranged pro-illegal alien protesters that were in front of the Metra in Billings. Notice they're not out there today again. with the global warming that's going on in Montana right now. Somebody told me 31 below in Broadview, minus 12 in Kalispell, according to Tammy. She says, February in Montana. I think I'm going to post this picture for all the people who want to move here. 12 below in Kalispell. Lovina, minus 30 degrees right now. No wind, though. I'll take it, Becky. Becky and Lovina sent us that message. I don't like the wind. I'll take 36 below. I just keep the wind, right? But anyway, Laura Ingraham perfectly described what the Democrats are operating like right now. They are in quicksand, and that's why they are flailing. That's where they are screeching and shrieking and flailing all about Elon Musk, democracy, And they look like a freaking joke to the American people. The Democrat protesters that showed up at the Montana Capitol in Helena last week, the left-wing protesters that were in downtown Kalispell yesterday, keep flailing your arms. As Laura Ingraham pointed out, you are in quicksand. And so the more you flail your arms, the more you are sinking in popularity with the American people, and the more Donald Trump is rising, kind of like the poll numbers that we talked about yesterday. To that point, so on the 5 yesterday on Fox News, they were talking about James Carville. Because James Carville, just like he'd say, well, it's a war, Larry. Now he's saying, it's a plant. It's a plant, Larry. It's a plant. He thinks that the Democrat Party is doing so many stupid things right now, embracing so many stupid ideas right now, defending the dumbest things imaginable that your taxpayer dollars are funding, that he thinks that there is a plant in the Democrat Party that is causing the Democrat Party to embrace all these stupid policies and all these stupid ideas. It's a plant, Larry. Now, Jessica Tarlov responded, and she says, well, she was asked, well, who's the plant in the Democrat Party? She couldn't give an answer. I can tell you who the plant is in the Montana Democrat Party. His name is Zoe Zephyr. It's a plant, Larry.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures will range from around 4 above in Bozeman to around 12 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and cold with low temperatures back in the low to mid-teens below zero. And then we can expect more sunshine Wednesday. High temperature readings staying around 10 above for tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. With Super Bowl 59 in the books, win or lose, have you ever wondered why people care so much about their favorite teams? Well, there's a psychology behind fandoms. Dr. Edward Hurt is a psychological and brain sciences professor at Indiana University. He says that being a fan becomes such a central part of our identity that it's one of the things we feel people should know about us. Dr. Hurt also says, The fact that we have this in common is something central and important enough that it creates a bond, a sort of allyship between people. Being a part of a fandom can help trigger positive feelings, giving people a sense of contributing to a team. So their success is our success. Also, feelings of disappointment, though, when your team doesn't win. But then again, there's always a next season. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, just another reminder for those of you just now joining us. Our phone lines kind of froze up on us here this morning. If you absolutely want to call into the show, it's kind of like Chandler from Friends. We'll call you. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app, and I can actually call you from the computer. We try not to do that all the time because it requires a little more coordination and a few more buttons to push, which can be tough for a journalism major graduate, pressing buttons without screwing things up. But anyway, yeah, send us a message on the Montana Talks app. We'll call you, Janice, and get you on the show. Or you can just send us a message, and we'll share your message with our listeners right now. In fact, we got a few messages that came in here. Let's see. Chris in Billings, we were talking about the cold weather temperatures, 30 below in Chomet this morning. So 30 below in Chomet this morning. Owen in Bozeman messaged us. This is a UK Daily Mail story. USAID funded college tuition for the jihadist who joined Al-Qaeda. Yeah, I saw that one. My goodness. I mean, just... And this is the stuff that's freaking out the Democrats. This is what the Democrats are freaking out. The wasteful spending that is being used to waste our taxpayer dollars and then to fund things that are against American interests. I mean, just the types of evil that is being funded with your taxpayer dollars in the last 4 years in particular through this USAID slush fund is such a slap in the face to the taxpayers and to those who have served this country and sacrificed for this country. So, Owen, thanks for sharing that story with us on the Montana Talks app. All right, here's the audio. This is from The Five on Fox News yesterday. It was teed up by Jesse Waters. Here you go, James Carville, kicking things off.
It's like there's a plant somewhere in, quote, progressive, unquote, America that just to see how many jack stupid things that they can embrace. There has to be a AI-generated, progressive generator of really dumb ideas. They have not been right about a single thing in all of history. And they're never going to be right.
I will let you respond to that, Jessica. Is there a plant in your party?
I don't think so. But James Carville is always colorful. And he's usually circling around the most salient points. And I think Democrats are thinking about this stuff a lot. A component of what Congressman Golden said, and he won a very competitive district with Trump, district rural Maine. So he said that he hasn't gotten any calls to his office about constituents upset about Trump. They're just upset about Musk. And he said, that's where you got to talk about this. It's not the guy that they voted for. It's the guy that's running the efficiency bureaucracy. And one of the ways that Democrats can do that is obviously to talk about various aspects, like who's getting the big government contracts, right? There are billions of dollars of quote-unquote doge that you could be looking through that go to Musk projects, like the Starlinks of the world, or EV subsidies, et cetera. But I think Carville also, and he didn't mention in that interview, and I think it would be worthwhile is the National Performance Review that happened during the Clinton administration, where they cut tons of waste. So we could have our own DOGE, have the Democratic Disruption Office. And you come with your own proposals. You say, we'll take your trans operas. I would cut things.
Like what?
Maybe trans operas.
Mm. Maybe. That wasn't definite.
But you wouldn't have known about it unless it were Elon Musk looking at that and telling us.
We have our own accounts.
You mean Joe Biden was actually going to tell us about that stuff?
Oh, that was hilarious. So what would you cut, Jessica Tarlov? Well, maybe transgender operas. Oh, maybe. As Jesse Waters put it, maybe you might cut that one. I mean, again, we're $36 trillion in debt. And the most coherent Democrat response was what you just heard right there. That's not your typical Democrat response. Their typical Democrat response is, oh, no, you can't cut sex changes to Guatemala. You got to let men in women's bathrooms. The most coherent Democrat Party response is what you just heard right there, which is, well, maybe we'll cut funding to transgender operas. Maybe. Now, that was from The Five. On his program last night, Jesse Waters had yet another stellar segment. He was pinning down. So how did the U.S. Agency for International Development become such a target? Because some of this woke nonsense that's being funded, drag queen story hour in Ecuador, we already knew about some of this stuff, right? But how did the USAID become such a target? How did they start, shining the spotlight on all the cockroaches at the USAID? Listen to what Jesse Waters reported last night.
It's easy finding fraud. You just close your wallet and see who cries the loudest.
How USAID got to the top of the DOGE list, I think, is one of the most interesting aspects of this story. So if you remember, on January 21st, Trump decided he would do a bunch of executive orders, right? And one of them was to pause foreign aid for 90 days. Okay, a couple of days later, the White House said, hey, this USAID leadership is trying to circumvent the executive order. In other words, they're just going to keep paying people, even though the executive order came out. That alerted the DOGE team.
FEMA spent $59 million in New York to feed and house Biden migrants.
Yeah, and we talked about that one yesterday on the show. DOGE has also identified that the bureaucracy, the unelected bureaucracy, is still trying to thumb its nose at you, the people, at we, the people. And they're still giving millions of dollars to upscale hotels in New York to house illegal aliens. And they're stealing from FEMA funding in order to do so, while FEMA isn't serving the people actually affected by storms.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicare spending is growing faster than the economy. That means several things. It means that growth by itself will not provide the resources needed to fund it, and that some revenue from something else, cuts from other programs, money from taxpayers, or borrowing from future taxpayers, will be needed. Regardless of how popular the program is or how much people say they don't want it changed, something must be changed to provide the fuel for its growth. Historically, addressing the situation has involved top-down cost control measures. By necessity, these are bureaucratic. They've also been largely ineffective. Price controls, cuts to doctor reimbursements, electronic medical records. They will likely be proposed again, but none have succeeded. That's because they don't address a fundamental cause of spending growth, and that is the third-party payer system. As benefit recipients, we have no incentive to economize on care. We simply want the government to pay for it. That's a recipe for cost growth, and we can expect more of it. I'm Patrick Bakke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's February 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is the day we all deserve. It's National Umbrella Day. Whether to keep the rain off our head, block the sun, or simply as a fashion accessory, the umbrella may be one of the most practical inventions of all time.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain.
Also on this date, in 1933, the Postal Telegraph Cable Company delivered the first ever singing telegram. And the great tenor Luciano Pavarotti gave his final public performance during the opening ceremonies of the 2006 Winter Olympic Games in Turin, Italy. Pavarotti would pass away in 2007 from pancreatic cancer. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Olympic gold medalist swimmer Mark Spitz, born in 1950. Golfing icon, the great white shark, Greg Norman, born in 1955.
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
U.S. pork exports eclipsed both previous highs in volume and value in 2024. That's according to data published by USDA and analyzed by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. December pork exports totaled just over 260,000 metric tons, slightly below last year's large volume, while value increased 1% to $771.8 million. The results pushed 2024 volume to 3.03 million tons, up 4% from the previous year, and topped the previous high set in 2020. Export value totaled $8.63 billion in 2024, 6% above 2023's record. Pork export efforts delivered a value of $66 per head of slaughtered pork. As for beef, December beef exports totaled over 119,000 million tons, 1.5% higher than the prior year, while value rose 4% to just under $900 million. Full-year beef exports were 1.29 million tons, down 0.5%, while value increased 5% to $10.45 billion. Market diversification delivered a value of $415 per fed head slaughtered for beef. USDA also says lamb exports trended higher than the previous year in both volume and value. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, let's get to some legislative news here. Let's see. Montana's Medicaid expansion renewal in the Senate's hands after the House greenlights the proposal, a legislative proposal to re-up Montana's state-run health insurance program that covers roughly 76,000 people, cleared another major benchmark on Monday, passing the House on a 63-37 vote. So this is basically the renewal of the Medicaid expansion that already passed several years ago. Sponsored by Representative Ed Buttrey, a Republican from Great Falls, House Bill 245 would preserve the program in its current form. So at least they're not expanding the program beyond what it already is. But what I want to find out is if there is a very clear, court-proofed work requirement that is a part of this Medicaid expansion, as outlined by former state representative Tom Burnett out of Bozeman. He joined us on the show a while back, and I think his comments were spot on. He says, look, he's against Medicaid expansion, and you know the voters, the people of Montana, actually voted against this very thing, and then the legislature overrode the vote of the people and enacted it anyway. And so but he made a great point that, look, whether you're for it or against it, Medicaid expansion, he said, at the very least, add a court-proofed work requirement to this, to where, okay, if the courts do away with the work requirement, then Medicaid expansion itself is done away with. And that was the argument made by former Representative Burnett. But if it wasn't in this House legislation, hopefully they can add it in the Senate version, and then get it in through reconciliation. But that was a report from the Lee newspapers. Let's see some. Oh, yeah. And then the Montana Senate, a bill to protect women's safe spaces, bathroom, not just bathrooms, but really other safe spaces for women. I mean, you think about how cold the weather is right now. Think about warming shelters. Think about women's abuse shelters. There's shelters that do an incredible job caring for women who are victims of domestic violence. Should women who are victims of domestic violence, who are victims of violence from men, be forced to share a women's shelter with men who claim to be women? No, of course they shouldn't. So this is about much more than just protecting women's and girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. But either way, the Montana Senate, in a 32-18 party line vote, according to the Montana Television Network, has now passed that bill to protect women's safe spaces. The House had already passed it. Now the Senate has passed it, which is really good news, because if you guys have been following the news in the state Senate, there's been a big division within the Republican caucus, where you've had a handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats to undermine their own caucus leadership, especially when it comes to the rules controlling the Senate. So at least they're moving forward on some important legislation in the meantime, and at least they're standing with their fellow Republicans on a vote like this that matters. How interesting is that, too, though? Not one Democrat in the state Senate could vote the right way, could vote the common sense way here. Not one Democrat would vote to protect women and girls. Not one. Again, because they're in quicksand. James Carville, in the clip that I played just a few minutes ago, there's a plant in the Democrat Party. There's a plant. Somebody's responsible for all these stupid decisions the Democrat Party keeps making. Well, there you go. Not one person in the Democrat Party in Montana could vote the right way, in the House nor in the state Senate. Is there a plant in the Democrat Party? Or are they all operating like house plants, doing whatever their party leaders tell them on everything, every step of the way, doing whatever they're fed? They just sit there and they get watered by their, you know, left-wing special interest groups. I mean, you know, James Carville, it would be correct to think that there is a plant in the Democrat Party that is responsible for all these stupid policies that the Democrats are embracing. But when every single Democrat in the Montana legislature, we're not even talking California, Minnesota, New York, this is the Montana legislature, and every single Democrat in the Montana legislature voted like they're from, you know, freaking Los Angeles, California or something. That's how stuck in the quicksand Montana Democrats are right now. So there's one other headline. So what about this split in the Republican caucus in the state Senate? There's an interesting headline that just came out. I think this was at the Montana Right Now website, if I'm not mistaken. Plus, yesterday we got a message from Charlene in Hamilton that I didn't get to, so I want to share that one with you today for sure. All right, back in 60 seconds. If you liked our gender-neutral cattle auction, we're going to have a little more fun with AI. So right on, John and Bozeman. Our phone lines are frozen up right now, but you can still message us on the Montana Talks app. So right on, John and Bozeman, you know, going with this story here, James Carville says there's a plant in the Democrat Party. So right on, John asks a very good question. What type of plant would the Democrats be if Democrats are plants? He says, musmelon tree, dragon fruit, stinging nettle, poison oak, crying carrot. Kind of makes you go, hmm. So I just saw that message from Right on John 60 seconds ago when our producer Caden walked it into the studio for us. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just like the gender-neutral cattle auction, I'm going to go to AI. I'm going to go to Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI platform embedded into X. And here's the question I threw out to Grok. If Democrats are plants, what would be some funny plant names to show how bad the Democrats are right now? So Grok says this. You could go with, I'm not going to use the Latin name. I'm going to go with Dodder. Dodder is a parasitic vine that strangles other plants while contributing nothing. Perfect for symbolizing bureaucratic bloat or leeching off working class votes without delivering. Or maybe, let's see, is it Urtica dioica? The stinging nettle. That was the one that Right on John threw out there. It's prickly and painful to deal with, much like the party's infighting and sanctimonious lectures. What about Mimosa pudica? Now, John Tester's like, I like mimosas. Remember when they did their little mimosa party with all their uppity liberals in Helena? Mimosa pudica is the sensitive plant, folding up at the slightest touch, like how they crumble under any real pressure or scrutiny. Now, for added humor, Grok throws in this. You could add in sundew, a carnivorous plant that lures prey with sticky promises only to trap and digest them. Sounds a lot like campaign rhetoric that never materializes into action. Or you could talk about their border policies. And don't forget Ailanthus altissima, the tree of heaven. Nah, that one couldn't be for the Democrat parties. Well, Grok says this. It is infamous for its stench and ability to grow anywhere, even where it's not wanted. Much like the party's knack for clinging to power despite being widely disliked. Anyway, plants, like politics, can be deceptively ruthless. Perfect for capturing the Democrats' current mess. That wasn't me there. That was all Grok. That was all the AI platform developed by who? Elon Musk! Ah! Let the shrieking and the shrilling from the daughter or the stinging nettle or what's the sensitive plant again? Oh, yeah, the mimosa pudica plants. Let the shrieking begin. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I didn't even know there was a such thing as a corpse plant. Tim in Billings said, you know, if you're coming up with names for Democrat plants, it's a corpse plant. I didn't even know there was a corpse plant. Here you go. I just pulled this up from the United States Botanic Garden, usbg.gov. I didn't even know we had a United States Botanic Garden. Where would we be without a United States Botanic Garden? The corpse flower is the largest unbranched inflorescence in the plant kingdom. It boasts a powerful stink and blooms for just 2 to 3 days. And then it kind of peters out. All right. Hey, thanks for that message there, Tim in Billings. Yeah, our phone lines are a little frozen up right now. But if you want to actually be heard, if you want to call into the show, that's right, Janice, we'll call you. We'll call you. Message us your number on the Montana Talks app. I'll call you from the computer here, and that's our little workaround. And then, don't worry, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X, joining us coming up in the 8 o'clock, and I think he's going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour of the show today as well. So we're going to have a ton of fun. We're going to heat things up on this 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 below zero day for some of you across Montana, given the wind chill numbers that we've seen out there. Actually, let me do a quick little roll up here. Yeah, I think we saw, at least in the forecast, Havre has it, at least with the wind chill forecast, the minimum wind chill forecast. By the way, today is the coldest day of the week. It's still going to be severe biting cold, you know, in for the rest of the week. But today is the worst. 52 below zero was the minimum wind chill forecast put out by the National Weather Service office in Great Falls. So I sent that out via X, and I added this. Haver has it at Chaos MT added this on X. As a great Montanan once told me, you can have her. I don't want her. So there's the reply to my have her has it tweet. Okay, let's see. What was I going to get to next? Oh, yeah, let's get back to the legislative news here. So, again, the good news is, hey, at least the Montana State Senate is moving forward with legislation despite this standoff over Senate rules within the Republican caucus. So we've had a divided Republican caucus where you've had, you know, 8 or 9 Republicans voting with the Democrats on the rules. And look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I didn't like it when 8 or 9 Republicans in the U.S. House voted with the Democrats against their party leaders. So when it comes to the state legislature, I don't like it there either, when you've got a handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats and undermining their own party leadership. I get it. There'll be votes where you feel like you got to vote one way and the rest of your caucus has to vote the other way. Hopefully it's not on the big stuff, on the major stuff, but we get it. There's going to be policy disagreements. The legislative leadership might have a certain target for tax relief that might differ from the governor's target for tax relief. People are going to have those policy differences, and they'll work it out. But openly undermining your party leadership, or on the flip side, openly undermining your party leadership in the governor's office, it's just like, guys, don't look a gift horse in the mouth here, and don't ruin the majority that you've been given here. But at least the state Senate is moving forward. They just yesterday, all the Republicans held together and voted to protect women's and girls' safe spaces like bathrooms and locker rooms and, you know, domestic violence shelters and more. And not one Democrat could vote the right way on that because of the plant in their party, Zoe Zephyr, and the radical transgender agenda. Here's another headline, though. This comes from, this is from a liberal blog called The Daily Montanan. Senators say Ellsworth promised to bring chaos if denied the presidency. Here's a quote from the article. Senator Jason Ellsworth threatened members of his own party with disruption of the Montana Senate in his failed bid to retain the office of Senate president, according to multiple Republican senators. Ellsworth, a Republican out of Hamilton, also threatened the new Senate president and majority leader with retaliation in connection with a waste, fraud, and abuse investigation into a contract he signed with a business associate. And this was based off of reporting that was first done by the lead newspaper's Capitol Bureau. But Ellsworth said he voiced his desires about leadership positions, but he denied that he planned to foment disorder if he was denied those roles. He said the accusations were, quote, ridiculous. That would be shallow, and I am here to serve the people. So that's kind of the latest on the division in the state's Senate Republican caucus. And by the way, just so you guys know, we do a weekly legislative update with Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, but I have put out an open invite to every single one of these state senators to join us if they want to speak, if any of those nine Republicans want to say, hey, look, here's why I feel the way I do. Here's why I'm voting the way that I'm voting. If Senator Ellsworth himself wants to join us on the show, that invite has been extended, just so you guys know that. And then when we did our live show from the Capitol, we had at least one of them talk about it on the air as well when we had our open microphones there. But that opportunity is always open. But then again, if you listen to Montana Talks on a regular basis, you know that the show is open to anybody. You don't have to be a state senator. You don't have to be a Senate president to be on Montana Talks. Anybody can call into Montana Talks, and typically we get to everybody. We may not read every single message you send in, just depending on the flow of the show and how many other calls we're getting, how many other messages we're getting, et cetera. But we at least read them, and it gives us insight, and then oftentimes we share those over the air as well. So that being said, if there's anybody on either side of this caucus debate that ever wants to give their side of this, of what's going on, hey, even if we have a busy day where we have a bunch of guests scheduled, there's typically always some time that we can free up for you. Or if not, we can schedule you later in the week. Pretty easy to do. Let's see. Oh, on that point, though, Charlene in Hamilton sent us a message yesterday, and it came right at the end of the 8 o'clock hour. So that's why I didn't get to it then, and then the 9 o'clock hour, it's a whole new statewide hour, and, you know, man, before you know it. But Charlene and Hamilton had this to say: with these 8 or 9 turncoat Republicans voting with the Democrats, can you give us a rundown of the bills that have not passed because of these shenanigans? Now, that's a good question. I don't know if we can say, well, here's what hasn't gotten done. Actually, some of these state lawmakers could probably fill us in. Well, hey, we probably would have delivered A, B, C, and D by now if we didn't have this fractured caucus. What we can say is the state House of Representatives, I think we had a guest yesterday, you know, make this point. Actually, it was Henry Kriegel, I think, made the point. Hey, the state House of Representatives is moving forward. They're rocking and rolling. But at least we are seeing some legislation get out of the state Senate in the meantime, like yesterday and this bill to protect women and girls' safe spaces. So, good question, though, Charlene. Thanks for that message. You can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Man, I'll tell you what. Last week, I don't know if you guys saw my story, but Travis Tritt, country music legend Travis Tritt, was in Whitefish. And, man, he got the heck out of Dodge just in time, didn't he? I mean, if you thought it was cold in Whitefish last week, wait till this week. You know, I mean, it's not as bad as Haverhill, 52 below zero forecasted wind chill, but it's still, you know, what did Tammy and Kalispell tell us? It was 12 below zero, 15 below zero, something like that, Kalispell this morning. So if you went up to your window, you know, you got your cup of coffee, you're looking out at that beautiful sunrise that I can see right now. I'm looking over the mountains, it's beautiful sunrise, and I got my coffee here. Man. But if you're standing next to your window and you're like, ooh, there's a lot of cold air coming through these windows. Well, let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal going right now. 50% off your window purchase. Minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. So what you can do is you can take advantage of that deal and upgrade to energy efficient triple pane windows. You don't feel all the cold air coming in. You save on your energy bills and more. Plus, easy financing. No money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Seriously, upgrading your windows has never been easier. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Whether it's windows, bathrooms, or both, this is a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Again, 50% off your window purchase. Minimum of 4 windows, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Your home improvement company. You're going to love the difference. Go to YHIC.com. Okay, let's see. What should we talk about after this? I got a whole bunch of stuff racked and stacked that I still haven't gotten to. Oh, we have so many great military veterans and those who support our military listening to this show. Fort Bragg is back, baby. I know we never called it Fort Liberty anyway, but Fort Bragg is back.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab nitro cold brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
AG Pam Bondi hit the ground running with orders to pause all funding for sanctuary cities. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world,
Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You know, the whole concept of sanctuary city status seems rather illegal. Why should select cities or even entire states be allowed to provide haven and refuge for criminal illegal aliens? Well, AG Pam Bondi is on the case. She announced an order to the DOJ to pause all federal funding for sanctuary cities. This could mean a big money loss for states like New York and California, whose leaders routinely boast about their sanctuary policies. Now, keep in mind, being a sanctuary city means local law enforcement is not allowed to cooperate with ICE. This means that illegal aliens who have not only entered unlawfully but have committed even more criminal activity get special coddling by these jurisdictions. Well, under Attorney General Pam Bondi, if they want to play those stupid little games, well, they'll win stupid little prizes and lose federal dollars. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures will range from around 4 above in Bozeman to around 12 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and cold with low temperatures back in the low to mid-teens below zero. And then we can expect more sunshine Wednesday. High temperature readings staying around 10 above for tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
All right, coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, go find those pearls because you may have to clutch them. We're going to see if John Jackson, the Joker from X, can join us for Tuesday's statewide show. You know, it's the most unwoke hour of the week whenever the Joker's with us. Then coming up Wednesday, we should have some more open phones time. Thursday, the legislative update. And then Friday, we will be in Glendive for the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo. We'll have open microphones for great food, auction deals on hunts, guns, hunting gear, and more. Find out how you can become a member, MontanaSafariClub.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Fort Bragg is back. Hey, John, you can throw that headset on if you want to. You can throw it on early. I mean, I know our friends in Great Falls and Kalispell are going to miss out for a few minutes, but Fort Bragg is back. Did you see what Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth did yesterday? He's on his flight over to Europe, and he put the order out. It's no longer Fort Liberty. It's Fort Bragg. Like, it's always been Fort Bragg, but there is a slight twist on the new Fort Bragg. But you know what I love the most about this renaming Fort Bragg, Fort Bragg again, is because that to me is the most effective way to deal with the last 4 years, from the COVID stupidity to the open borders to all the stupidity that Joe Biden and John Tester and the Democrats thrust on this country, is to just throw it in the trash can and just say, yeah, you did all these stupid things. No, we're changing the name back. I just think it's one of the best things that could have been done to just say, yeah, whatever stupid crap you guys did these last 4 years, we're just going to undo it. It was so stupid.
Well, and I have a really, really personal connection to Fort Benning. And as I understand, they have changed Benning's name, and I want that changed back next. I mean, number two on the list, Pete. You know, bro, Pete, if you're listening, you know, change that back right away.
Well, you know, I got to say I agree with you on that one. I mean, look, Fort Moore, I get the honor meant behind that. But let's be honest, we need to expand our capabilities when it comes to national security. So why don't you create a new base? And call that one Fort Moore, right? Yeah. But Fort Benning is the home of the baddest, right? Now, I don't say that. Now, there's some that aren't that bad. I mean, I went through Fort Benning, but it's just like there was always a point of pride that you went through infantry training at Fort Benning. I mean, I did basic training and AIT infantry on Sand Hill in Fort Benning, and then I did the infantry officer basic course. But man, there's so many more who've done a heck of a lot more than that at Fort Benning. And that's where, you know, any badass in the Army has typically gone through Fort Bragg, right? I've been through Fort Bragg. Dude, Fort Benning.
Darby Queen. Did you do the Darby Queen obstacle course while you were there? It's the hardest and longest obstacle course in the U.S. military. It's a mile long.
I did not get to do that one. I tried to go to that. But instead, like, they were taking their sweet little time with paperwork. And back then, they didn't send National Guard guys typically to schools like that. They'd be like, no, you don't get to go. We didn't get to go. You don't get to go. And now they're a lot better about sending guys through Ranger training and more. But instead, I went straight to Iraq. So I was like, all right, you know, here you go. You get this prize instead.
They have you do the land navigation courses. It's through this area of the Georgia woods there that they call dinosaur land. And, I mean, in the summertime, bro, it is just one giant thicket of briars and brambles and overgrowth, and you're trying to make your way through this on a time hack, you know.
Speaking of dinosaur land, is there like the Mitch McConnell obstacle over here, and here's the Di-Fi, you know, it's barbed wire that you have to crawl underneath in a wheelchair or something like that, you know. Also speaking of dinosaurs, no joke, real news headline out of Bozeman. You know the Museum of the Rockies? So they've got a new T-Rex on display, and I think her name is Susie, but the old T-Rex was Big Mike. So I thought you would appreciate that. They had a T-Rex named Big Mike.
Wait, Michelle Obama's at the museum? I had no idea. She is everywhere. She is omnipresent.
I just knew that when I put the ball on the team. The tink. That was a nice shot.
Big Mike. She's everywhere. Yeah.
I actually got to meet and interview Michelle Obama in Billings way back in the day when Obama was campaigning here. And, you know, a lot – like all these politicians in person, you know, they're very personable, you know, likable people, but you still know that their policies are an absolute train wreck, you know.
Did she challenge you to an arm wrestling contest? Or?
She did not. No? She did not. Yeah. Did not even get an invite to the Museum of the Rockies.
Chuck Lazar,
you know.
Chuck Lazar.
Oh, sir, is that your cell phone in your pocket? Put it away, please. I want to be one of those nerdy dads. I used to have the cell phone clip on the hip, you know. And I want to do that again. I'm tired of having the thing in my pocket, but my kids think I'm nerdy enough as it is already.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicare spending is growing faster than the economy. That means several things. It means that growth by itself will not provide the resources needed to fund it, and that some revenue from something else, cuts from other programs, money from taxpayers, or borrowing from future taxpayers, will be needed. Regardless of how popular the program is or how much people say they don't want it changed, something must be changed to provide the fuel for its growth. Historically, addressing the situation has involved top-down cost control measures. By necessity, these are bureaucratic. They have also been largely ineffective. Price controls, cuts to doctor reimbursements, electronic medical records. They will likely be proposed again, but none have succeeded. That's because they don't address a fundamental cause of spending growth, and that is the third-party payer system. As benefit recipients, we have no incentive to economize on care. We simply want the government to pay for it. That's a recipe for cost growth, and we can expect more of it. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.